The very beginning of time, after God had created all things in the space of 6 days, we are told in Genesis 1:31, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. God's creation in its original created state was very good. There was nothing in it that was bad or broken. There was no disharmony, no disease, no corruption, no cruelty found in this world after the Lord had spoken it into being. It was very good. Of course, this world had to be very good because its creator is very good. Psalm 145 verse 17 says, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works." This is the very nature of God. He is righteous in all his ways. He is holy in all his works. Therefore, because God is the perfect one, all that he does is perfect. He can only do that which is very good. This is all that God can do. All that he does is very good because he himself is very good. And so creation was perfect. It was a very good creation. Nevertheless, even though God's creation in every part and in every way was very good, man with his sin has defiled and destroyed this creation. Everything in this world is now not very good. The opposite is the case. Everything has been corrupted and spoiled by sin. Our world is now a place where struggle, suffering, sickness, strife, sadness, and sorrow are the norm. I was just speaking to a man this week, and he was telling me the difficulties he has been having in his greenhouse this year. Everything he has been trying to grow has been eaten with different slugs and insects. And he's tried all sorts of different remedies to stop these insects devouring his fruit and vegetables. Yet even these smallest of little creatures causing such trouble are a reminder to us that we are found in a broken world. A world that has been ruined and defiled by sin. A world that is under the curse of God. This is the nature of our world now. Sin has brought terrible consequences into God's creation. It has spoiled God's perfect and good world. And it has completely defiled man. God in his holiness no longer sees man as very good. Instead, he sees man as bad. Of course, at the very beginning, after God created man, God even looked at man. He looked at Adam and Eve, and behold, they were very good because they were his creation. But this again is no longer the case. God does no longer view men and women as very good, but rather as bad. Romans 3 very clearly brings before us how God now views all men and women as they are born into this fallen world. This is what we read in Romans 3 verses 10 to 12. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Note the final words here. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. This is man's sad state as a sinner. He is not good. And so therefore, he does not do that which is good. God no longer views man in his sin as very good. But he views him as very bad, as wicked. Whoever is God provides salvation for sinners. As he calls men and women onto himself in salvation, he deals with the terrible problem of sin. He deals with the wickedness of man's heart. And he plants by his spirit goodness into the soul of man again. And this is the very nature of God's salvation. God calls men out of darkness. God calls men out of sin. God calls men out of that which is evil and wicked, and he calls them unto himself. And he remakes man. And he changes man. And by his spirit, he plants goodness into man again. This is very clearly brought before us in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, where we read, "Therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, but all things are become new." All those that are joined to Christ in salvation are new creatures. Or we could read it, new creation. The old things of sin, they all pass away. And all things become new. The believer is one who now lives in a new way. They live in a good way. A way that is pleasing and acceptable to God. And this is the very nature of God's salvation. God changes men and women. He changes them from the inside out. He remakes them. And he deals with their sin. And he plants goodness. He plants righteousness. He plants holiness within man and salvation. Now, the wonderful truth that the Christian is one who lives in a good way before God is very clearly brought before us as Paul lists the fruit of the Spirit here in Galatians 5. All of these things that Paul lists are all good. And they speak of how the Holy Spirit produces in the life of the believer good and godly behavior. All of these things spoken of here, they are all good attributes. They're all good qualities. And this is emphasizing, this is what God does in salvation. Changes sinners. Changes wicked men. Changes wicked hearts. Changes wicked individuals. And he makes them good. And this is the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. Yet as Paul lists the different qualities of the fruit of the Spirit, he specifically mentions goodness here. He focuses in upon goodness in verse 22. See again what it says here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Goodness. And so Paul here actually focuses in specifically upon goodness itself. This evening then I want us to consider this goodness. This goodness which is only found where God's Spirit dwells. Every true Christian, to some degree or another, will bear the fruit of this goodness in their heart and in their life. Because this is a quality. This is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Notice then with me a number of things about the wonderful fruit of goodness, which the Spirit of God produces in the life of the believer. The first thing I want to note here is the description of the fruit of goodness. The description of the fruit of goodness. As Paul declares in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. We need first of all to understand what this goodness is that Paul is speaking of. What is the apostle actually referring to here as he speaks of the quality of goodness? We should note that when Scripture speaks of goodness in the lives of men and women, it is referring to something which the Holy Spirit produces within them. This is not something that man and sin can produce himself. When the Word of God speaks about this goodness here that's found in the saint, found in the believer, it's speaking about that which the Spirit of God, and only the Spirit of God, can produce. Man in and of himself, never forget this, man in and of himself cannot produce any goodness that is acceptable with God. We cannot do that. We do not have the ability to do that, because we're sinners. And so this is very much the work of the Spirit within the believer, within the child of God. Listen to the words of Ephesians 5 verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The thought here is, in all true goodness and righteousness and truth, the Holy Spirit is at work. In all true goodness, He's the one that is working. He is the author and producer of that goodness and righteousness. The Apostle John put it this way in 3 John 1 and the verse 11. He that doeth good is of God. Meaning, he that doeth good is born of God. They have been born again by the Spirit of God. Goodness, all true goodness that is found within man, is then the direct result of God's Spirit dwelling in their soul. Or to put it a different way, man cannot be good. He cannot produce goodness which is acceptable to God without knowing the saving power of God's Spirit in his life. That cannot happen. And let me say, this is a truth that many need to understand in our world today. How many are deceived thinking that they are good? They're good people because they live decent lives. They're good people because they're charitable. They're good people because of some sort of morals. And they think, well, I'm a good person. I'm not like that down and out. I'm not like that wicked person, not a moral person. I'm a good person. But oh, that men and women would understand this truth. You cannot be good. You cannot produce goodness. Except God by Spirit dwells within you. This is the starting point. This is the very beginning of goodness. As filthy, undone, rotten sinners, we cannot produce anything of goodness until first of all goodness comes to dwell within us. That is God by His Spirit. Yet what is this goodness? What is this goodness which the Holy Ghost produces in the heart and life of the believer? What is Paul speaking of here? What is the thought behind this word goodness? Well, the word goodness here in our text literally means virtue or uprightness of heart and life. Virtue or uprightness of heart and life. And it also carries with it the idea of benevolence or generosity. There is then this twofold idea contained in the word goodness in Scripture. Therefore, we can say the fruit of goodness which the Holy Spirit produces in the life of the Christian includes two things. It includes two things. The fruit of spiritual goodness, first of all, includes holiness. It includes holiness. This word means virtue or uprightness. And that is holiness. Good is the opposite of evil. Therefore, the fruit of goodness which the Holy Spirit produces in the life of a Christian speaks of how the Christian will live and behave not in an evil or wicked way, but rather in a holy and righteous and pure way. Psalm 34 verse 14 declares, depart from evil and do good. See how good here is contrasted with evil. Depart from evil and do good. Good is the opposite of evil. Therefore, good is to behave in a holy way and a righteous way. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 12, 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. A good man, the fruit of his life, will be holy and godly. Whereas an evil man, the fruit of his life, will be bad. It will be wicked. And so goodness speaks of holiness. It speaks of holiness. It refers to living in a way that is different to this sinful and corrupt world. This is what it is to produce goodness. To live in a different way than this wicked and sinful world that we're found in. The good person will be like Job, spoken of in the Old Testament. The Lord Jesus said of Job in Job 1 in the verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Job was a good man because he was a holy man. He was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. He rejected that which is evil. As we then think of the fruit of goodness, this brings before us the whole idea of holiness and righteousness. The good man or the good woman is a holy man or a holy woman. They're holy. This is the nature of goodness. It speaks about someone who is holy. Someone set apart, someone separated from the wickedness and corruption of the sinful world and living for God. Of course, we need to define what holiness is. And it's very important to define what holiness is. And we always need to remember what it is. A very simple definition of holiness is to love that which God loves and to hate that which God hates. This is really the nature of holiness. To love that which God loves and to hate that which God hates. Let us apply this to our own lives. Is this fruit of goodness found in your life? In your life? Is there a striving after holiness? Can you honestly say, and I want you to examine your own heart tonight. Can you honestly say, I am one who loves that which God loves. And I am one that hates that which God hates. Because let me say, this is goodness. This is spiritual goodness. And this is the fruit of the Spirit that will be found in the Christian. This is goodness. This holiness. This separation from this world. And the wickedness of this world. And the defilement of this world. And you know that we all sin, and we all grieve the Lord, and we all fall at different times. But yet, the Christian in whom the fruit of goodness grows will be concerned about their sin, and they will repent over it, and it will be their desire to honor God in all that they do. Because this is the very nature of goodness. It speaks about holiness in the life of the believer. Now, is this found within your heart? Is this found within your life? Does your sin concern you? Is it your greatest desire to honor God and live for Him? It will be. It will be if you're a believer. Because the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. But then notice also here in Scripture, the fruit of goodness also includes not only holiness, but helpfulness. Helpfulness. The word good here also means benevolence, as I said earlier. Benevolence. Not speaking about generosity. Kindness, helpfulness. To behave in a good way involves being kind and helpful towards our neighbor, towards others. Psalm 112 in the verse 5 declares, "A good man showeth favor and lendeth." A good man showeth favor and lendeth. In other words, the good man is kind and generous to those in need. And he will freely lend to them. Freely give to them. This is the nature of goodness. We do good to others. We do good to our fellow man. We have a powerful example of this in the life of the missionary Barnabas that we meet in the book of Acts. In Acts 11, we read of Barnabas, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. That is, the church in Jerusalem sent out Barnabas to Antioch. Who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. Then we read these words, "For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith." Notice these words, it speaks of how Barnabas was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Again, we are reminded here of how goodness and the work of the Spirit cannot be separated. We cannot be good without the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And when the Holy Spirit dwells in us, then goodness will spring forth. It will spring forth in our lives. When God's Spirit dwells in us, goodness will be produced. Yet what I just want us to note about Barnabas is, as a good man, the Scripture says he was a good man, as a good man, he was the most helpful and kind-hearted individual. This was the very nature of Barnabas. He was the good man. And God's Word identifies him as this. The Holy Spirit identifies him as this. This good man. But Barnabas was a kind man. A man with great generosity and benevolence. We see this in a number of places in the book of Acts. Turn with me for a moment to Acts chapter 4. Notice what it says here about Barnabas in Acts chapter 4. This is actually the first time you meet Barnabas in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4. The verses 36 and 37. Acts chapter 4 and verse 36 tells us, "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet." And see, here was a man who owned a possession. He owned land. And he didn't need it. What does he do? He sells it. And he brings it and he gives it to the apostles for the furtherance of Christ's kingdom. To meet the need of those that were needy. And we witness right away here as we come into contact with Barnabas. His helpfulness. His generosity. But then turn over with me now to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And the verses 26 and 27 here. And again we meet with Barnabas. Acts chapter 9 verse 26 tells us, "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem," this was after Saul was converted, and after he had been in Damascus for a time, he came to Jerusalem. It says, "When Saul was come to Jerusalem, he is said to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple." And so there was this hesitance to accept Paul. They were afraid of him. But note the words in verse 27, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Now, Scripture identifies Barnabas as a good man. And what is the nature of his good life? Benevolence. Generosity. Even when no one else would accept Saul here. It was Barnabas who went to help. It was Barnabas who came to encourage. It was Barnabas who was generous and benevolent towards this man. Because he was a good man. And so goodness. Goodness speaks also about helpfulness. The fruit of goodness which the Holy Spirit produces in the life of the believer not only involves holiness, but also helpfulness. A desire to do good to others. Of course, where we see the spiritual goodness in all its glory and greatness is in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. As the good one. And there was none good as the Lord. He was the truly good one. But as the good one, he lived a holy life. Sinless life. Perfectly sinless. And as the good one, he lived a helpful life as well. His ministry was helpful. He went about healing those that were sick with diseases, raising the dead, feeding the hungry, preaching to those the news of the gospel, delivering people from the power of darkness, delivering people from fear and all sorts of trouble. This is the very nature of his ministry. It was a helpful ministry. And this is why flocks of people crowded round him and desire that they would experience his grace and power in their lives. Of course, his ministry was not only helpful, but his death was. He came to die. Meet our need as sinners. To help us. And deliver us from the condemnation of hell. As the good one. Christ's life was marked by holiness and helpfulness. Goodness, holy goodness and helpful goodness is found in the heart and life of the person indwelt by God's Spirit. But is this sweet fruit found in your life? Is it found in your life? Is it your desire to be good, to be holy, and to do good? To be helpful. It will be of Christ as your Savior. And that you're indwelled by His Spirit. This is a clear mark, clear evidence of God's saving grace. And so we have here the description of the fruit of goodness. But then I also want to note here tonight, as we think about this goodness, the deeds of the fruit of goodness. The deeds of the fruit of goodness. The more the child of God knows the infilling of God's Spirit in their life, then the more abundantly they will produce the fruit of goodness. And this is one of the reasons why we as believers should daily pray for the infilling of God's Spirit. Because it's only as we are infilled by God's Spirit that we will be able to produce more and more real goodness. We're dependent upon the Spirit for this. We're reliant on this. And this is why we need to seek after the infilling of God's Spirit. This is why Paul said to the believers in Ephesus, be not drunk with wine or in his excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Because this is so essential to be good. Yet, what are the particular features or characteristics of the fruit of spiritual goodness? This is something that we also need to consider and understand. What are the characteristics? What are the features of true spiritual goodness? And the reason why we need to understand what good Christian and spiritual behavior is because there have been many people, and they reckon themselves good because they live in a certain way. They feel they are good people because of particular things they do. And there are many like this. And this has always been the case. There are many people who think they're good because of what they do. However, their estimation of goodness is very much different to that which God's word sets forth as good behavior. What they think to be good is very different from what God considers to be good. The Jews fell into this very trap. This was one thing they had. This was the snare they had been caught in. They believed because they washed their hands and washed their tables and washed their pots and followed certain traditions they were good. And that's what they thought. And when the disciples didn't wash their hands, they came to the Savior and said, look at these unholy men. Look at these terrible individuals. Look at your disciples. Look what they're doing. Because you see, they thought goodness wasn't merely washing your hands or washing your tables or washing pots or following certain traditions. Indeed, this is what Christ said of these Jews. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. He was saying, it's just an outward charade. It's not real. You're not really good people. There's no true goodness within you. You're just a whited sepulchre, filled with rottenness and corruption. In the times that we are living today, there are many people, and they believe that they're good. They believe they're good because they recycle their rubbish, or because they're doing things which they think are good for the environment. And that's the case with many today. Because they put the right rubbish in the blue bin. And they think they're good because of that. Or because they do certain things for the environment. Well, I'm a good person. I do things to protect the environment. This almost seems to be the standard of goodness today. As Christians then, it is important we understand. Important we understand what the Bible actually says about good behavior. What true goodness is. What true good behavior is. Now, as we consider what Scripture says about good behavior, there are many things that we could say. Many, many things. But we can summarize all the different aspects of good behavior under three headings. God's Word teaches us good behavior involves worshiping. It involves worshiping. The good person worships the Lord. That's the first thing. They worship the Lord. In 2 Chronicles 19 verse 1, we are told of how the prophet Jehu said to King Jehoshaphat, there are good things found in thee, and that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. Now notice here, the good thing that was found in Jehoshaphat was, he prepared his heart to seek God. Jehoshaphat had sinned at this point in his life. He had fallen into sin. And he'd wandered from the Lord to a certain degree. But when the prophet came to him, he said, there's a good thing found in you. And that good thing was this. You've prepared your heart to seek God. He was one that worshipped the Lord. You see, good behavior involves a true worshipping of God. A seeking after the Lord in the heart. Of course, worshipping and loving God is man's first duty. This is what God first of all requires of man. The first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. This is man's first responsibility. Therefore, we can say worship is the greatest act of goodness that men and women can engage in. This is the greatest act of goodness. This is the most holiest, the most righteous thing that any person could actually engage in, giving worship to God, because this is our first duty. This is what God requires of man. When men refuse to worship God, this is the opposite of goodness. It is wickedness. It is great wickedness when men refuse to worship God. Where the Spirit of God is, where the Spirit of God and salvation has planted goodness in the soul, there will spring forth in the life of that person the fruit of worship. That is a certainty. That will happen. Is this goodness, the goodness of worship, found in your life? Do you delight in worship? Not just speaking about coming to God's house and the Lord saying, that's right and proper. That's where we ought to be. But I'm speaking about in your own home. On a daily basis in your life. Do you worship the Lord? This is the fruit of goodness. It involves worship. Worshiping of God. But then God's Word teaches us good behavior not only involves worshiping, it involves warring. That is, good behavior involves fighting the good fight of faith in this world of wickedness and sin. Paul reminded Timothy of this as he told him that he needed to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ and that he might as war a good warfare. Now this good warfare the Christian is to be engaged in really involves two aspects or two parts. The good soldier of Jesus Christ must withstand all that is evil. And that is the task of a Christian. A Christian soldier withstanding, opposing, resisting all that is evil. And then they also must engage in all that is right and all that is good. This is the nature of the Christian life. We're not only to oppose all that is evil, we are also to promote and do all that is good and all that is righteous. We have a wonderful example of this in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah led the people of Israel to rebuild the walls in Jerusalem. But as well as building the walls, they faced many problems. The people of Israel faced many problems during the process of building the walls. There were many enemies, many obstacles, many attacks that they had to repel and face. We're then told in Nehemiah 4 verse 17 how the people in Israel engaged in the work of rebuilding the walls. And it says this, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work and with the other hand held a weapon. Now think of what these people were doing. Every man with one hand he wrought in the work. He built the wall and with the other hand he held a weapon. What was he doing? He was repelling evil in one hand and on the other hand he was building up God's work. He was doing that which was good and doing that which is righteous. And this is the very nature of the warfare the Christian must engage in. He must, as it were, have a sword in one hand but a trowel in the other. This is what it is to engage in good behavior. Living opposing evil, living opposing sin, even slaying the enemies of God, spiritually speaking, and then continuing to build God's work, to build up in righteousness and true holiness. This is the nature of a good warfare. This is goodness in the life of the believer. It involves not only worshiping, but also warring. Warring. And again, we must apply this to ourselves. Is there this warring in our lives? Is there this warring in your life? Is there this battle? This struggle? God's word teaches us good behavior involves worshiping, warring. It also involves witnessing. Christ brings this truth before us as he says to his people in the words of Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. To bring the light of truth to those around us that sit in darkness is to behave in a good and godly way. There is simply no greater goodness that we could show towards our fellow men and women than to tell them of Christ and share with them the glorious truth of his salvation. The greatest goodness that we could do is to worship God. To worship God. But the greatest goodness that we can do to our fellow man is to tell them of God. To tell them of Christ and his salvation. Where the Spirit of God is found in the heart of a person, there will be this desire to witness to others and to bring to them the light of truth. This will be found in the heart. A desire to share the gospel. A desire to tell them how they can be saved. A desire to tell them how they can have their sins forgiven. A desire to tell them how they can be delivered from condemnation and rescued from the everlasting burnings of hell. Where there is goodness in the heart, there will also be witnessing. If there is no desire to speak to those around us perishing in sin, well, that is to behave not in a good way. It's to behave in an evil way. Even a cruel way. That's what it is. Think of that. If we refuse to witness to those perishing in their sin all around us, we who have the truth, we who have the message of the gospel, the message of salvation, if we refuse to share that, that is the very opposite of goodness. It's cruelty, the worst of all cruelty. Sending people on in their sin ignorantly to perish. The deeds of the fruit of goodness then involve worshipping, warring, and witnessing. Now could I put it to you tonight? Are these deeds found in your life? Is there some resemblance? Can you identify with these things? Remember, this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is the evidence that you are Christ's and His Spirit dwells in you. There will be something of this goodness in your heart and in your life. If you're really a Christian, if you're a true believer, this worshipping, this warring, this witnessing. The last thing that I want us to note this evening as we think about this goodness that Paul speaks of here is not only the description of this goodness and the deeds of this goodness, but also the development of the fruit of goodness. In the life of the child of God, there ought to be a developing. There ought to be a growing. This is a truth brought before us in many places in Scripture. God's Word talks about the believer growing in grace, being fruitful in every good work, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. In Proverbs 4 verse 18 puts it like this, but the path of the just, that is the righteous, that is the believer, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. This is the Christian. They're on a path, and that path gets brighter and brighter. It gets more glorious as they tread upon it, as they get closer and closer to heaven. The point is this. The fruit of goodness will not only grow in the heart and life of the believer. It will only grow there, but it will continue to grow there. And even increase as the believer develops in the things of God. This is the nature of the fruit of goodness. It doesn't wither up and die after a few years. It doesn't just end after a period of time. No, when God's Spirit's in the heart, when He's actually in the life of an individual, this goodness will increase. It will develop. Think of it in terms of a fruit tree. The stronger, healthier, and larger that tree becomes, the more fruit it will bear each year. It will produce more. It'll be more productive. More fruitful. Well, the more a Christian develops in the faith, the more they journey along in the pilgrimage of the Christian life, the more the fruit of goodness ought to appear. It ought to appear. And this, of course, is a challenge to every believer. You see, as we come to these different qualities of the fruit of the Spirit, we not only must consider them as evidences of a Christian, but also as a challenge to the believer. These things need to develop and grow. That's why they're described as fruit. And I mentioned this before. Paul speaks of these things as fruit. Because this is the nature of a fruit tree. It continues to produce. And the more mature it is, the more developed it is, the more it produces. This is how we are to be as Christians. This goodness needs to develop more and more in our lives and appear. And of course, this must bring us again to the point where we have to seek for God's help. We cannot produce this goodness in our own strength. It's not a matter of saying, listen, I'm going to try my best, and I'm going to use all my energy, and I'm going to use all my willpower, and I'm going to be as good as I can be, and let me say, that ought to be the case. But you'll never have success that way. The only way we can be good is by coming to as helpless sinners to the Lord and saying, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Give me the power to be good today. Give me the power to live a good life before this wicked world. Power to produce good fruit that others will see and come to glorify my Father, which is in heaven. Where God's Spirit dwells in the heart, the sweet fruit of goodness will appear. It will appear. Now, is this a reality in your life? Let's get back to this. Is this a reality in your life? Is there this fruit of goodness? These things are not just qualities that Paul has listed here in Galatians 5. But they are to be realities in the lives of every believer. Have you experienced the power of God's salvation? If that is the case, then the fruit of goodness will appear. Maybe tonight you have been exposed. Your life has been exposed. Your spiritual state has been exposed and you realize, listen, I'm not good. If I'm being honest, I'm not good at all. Instead, I'm a sinner and I know it. Even in the light of God's truth. Well, the gospel is this, you can be made good. If you will but humble yourself and seek Christ, the one who saves sinners, makes them into new creations, makes them good. If you seek him tonight, he will save you. And you will produce the fruit of goodness in your life. I trust this will be the case. May the Lord be pleased to bless his truth to our hearts for his own name's sake. Amen and amen.